This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell upon the earth. Good to be with you. I know we had quite an audience last night for the interview program with Dr. Tawali in Lafayette, Louisiana. I drove over for it, and I'm still in the western part of Louisiana right now. In fact, I'm having a little car trouble. My 13-year-old car just isn't running too well right now. Can't seem to shift into fifth gear, and boy, you need that with these gas prices, that's for sure. Getting ready to get back down on the road to some of our volunteers in Covington, Louisiana, Mandeville, and I appreciate the fact that a couple people have come in already. And we have a few more scheduled for tomorrow, so anybody who can come in, please do so. We could use your help. Obviously, if you've got any sort of work you've got to do in your own property in the New Orleans area, we understand that, and we urge you to stay and do the things you've got to do for yourself and your family first. But if you can spare some time, especially if you haven't had any damage, we could use your help right now. We're going to get this place in shape, and we appreciate very much the people that have given me good wishes and given us a lot of support from around the country dealing with this hurricane damage. Very, very thankful for that. I guess first I can start off with some of the comments I have on the program last night. It was an interesting program, and the host was a little bit argumentative, but that's okay. I think that makes the program better, and he has asked some hard questions, but I certainly believe I had the answers for those questions. The only thing that I didn't like about the program was that some of the callers, I think, just stayed on too long, and that was a problem. In fact, one of the ladies wrote to the host and said that, well, the black man was on. By the way, the black man who said that he believed I did not have a prejudice bone in my body, which is kind of a nice thing to say, but he talked and talked and talked, said that I didn't look like I was full of love for this man. Well, the problem was that, you know, that was nothing to do with him individually. The problem was that we were simply sitting there so long, and he was just droning on, telling us stories the whole bit, and I think it was taking away from the show a bit. But it was a good show, I think. I've gotten a tremendous number of emails, and I'm going to share some of those emails with you. And of course, we have a lot of posts on Stormfront as well, which I will certainly share with you as well. So we've got a lot of things. We got a lot of things going on, and I will try to get to them. And I'm in fact now a internet, not an internet cafe, but an internet provider company that was nice enough to let me come in and use their facilities and use their Wi-Fi free of charge without any problem whatsoever. And I'm very thankful for that. A lot of nice people out here. In fact, I came in. This is a very strong area of, I guess, what you would call David Duke support. I carried this area 70-80% in the political campaigns, and that's even with about a 15-20% black population. We carried this area, you know, handily, which means I got just about all the white votes. I mean, you might even say over 90% of the white votes, and in this area, and we continue to have a lot of support in this area, so. You know, so the lady, and, you know, my dog is sitting next to my fine companion, and they have a nice black, big old black cat in here. Of course, it's appropriate. I've got a white dog, and it's a black cat, of course. And the black cat came over to take a look at Tori, and, I was rescued. But we have some nice people out here. In fact, I came in here and the very nice, attractive secretary said, are you the famous David Duke? And I said, well, I don't know about famous, infamous. She said, no, famous, you know. So she's nice. In fact, she's smiling over at the desk now. and listening to this, I think this interview. The program last night was, again, I think it was instructive for a lot of people. And let me go right to some of the emails and some of the communications and share with you some of what people wrote me. And I got a lot of them last night. So let's start off. This one is from Eva. She says, Dear Dr. Duke, I think you did a great job last night explaining the Jewish menace. Even though I was raised in the knowledge of the dangers of Zionism, I picked up a few new perspectives on this problem. I hope that many of those that understand that the white European race is in mortal danger from multicultural absorption, but really know must need to know why they were listening. As you may or may not remember, I'm a member of Stormfront, and I'm astonished how many people are just don't get it about the Jewish threat. Sure, everyone understands about the black and Asian problem, but they're not just symptoms. Your books, My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism, should be textbooks in the course of White Survival 101. And yes, I did notice that the Arab moderator last night trying to make a big thing out of words like the word white. It must be some of the Semitic blood in it. Well, I don't, you know, I think the guy was very fair, very nice, and I'm very thankful that he wanted this interview, and I think this interview was good for his ratings. I think it's always good for us to have a situation where we're broadcasting a, you know, a live interview like that over the web, and it goes around the world. So, you know, you have to understand, and anybody that's in any sort of broadcasting, even the small public broadcasting that he's in, has a lot of threats and there's a lot of potential problems that he's going to face from our traditional enemy. So, and, you know, I don't expect to agree 100% on every issue with every host that I ever go on with, but certainly I agree with him on 95% of the issues. I think I got over pretty well the ideas that I expressed, and I think it's a very important understanding to for people to realize that the threat of Jewish supremacism, it comes about by one of their means of power, of course, is to break up and destroy the cultural integrity, loyalty, solidarity of the people they live among. Somebody else wrote me an email and mentioned about the Jared Diamond quote about how now we can tell who Jews are. Well, Jared Diamond, I don't know if that was his exact words, but what he did was, Jared Diamond's one of these Jewish anthropologists, very liberal, who says that race is a social construct. In other words, race doesn't really exist. It's not a biological fact, which, of course, is truly ridiculous on its face. You know, you don't have to tell anybody anything to know that there are different races, just like there are different races of dogs or monkeys or birds or whatever. You know, we have a Maltese, as I say, I always say before, we have a Maltese and a St. Bernard and a hairless Chihuahua and a German Shepherd. They seem quite different. You know that the genetic distance between dogs, and they've just done some recent DNA studies on dogs that have shown this, that the genetic distance between the different breeds of dogs is actually less than the genetic distance between the different races of mankind. And Jared Diamond's one of these, you know, race is a social construct, but he, in an article that appeared in Anthropology Today, and we can find that for you. In fact, I think it is documented as well in Jewish Supremacism. Someone can dig up that particular quote. The next edition, I believe, will have an index in it, thank goodness, which will make it even easier. Of course, if you have it on CD, and you can buy it, by the way, on CD or in a download PDF fashion, you can search, obviously, for the specifics, the absolute specifics of any word, any phrase. You can look up Jared Diamond and see all the references to it almost instantly. And Jared Diamond, what he said in this article was that modern DNA studies will enable Israel to recognize who is a Jew by their immigration laws and who is not a Jew. So, and there's many, and I point this out in my book, there's many about the celebration of Jewish heritage, and they talk about different aspects of Jewish heritage and their alleles and their gene groupings and their DNA and the rest of it, and show that they have a distinction. But it's interesting, we have a distinct people of Jews who are different than all the non-Jews of the world, but somehow there's no existence between black people and white people. Come on. I mean, you can see the incredible hypocrisy in that kind of a position. This is from James in Chicago. He says, Hi, David. Sorry about your house. Hope it's better soon. Take care. Well, thank you. And this is from James M. He said, I put Hesham in touch with Paul Finley, another guest he's had in the program, so we have a good rapport. I'm looking forward to seeing your entire broadcast via archive from last night as I was out and tuned in late. You did good from what I saw. Well, thank you, James M. That's great. And here we got one. Let's see. This is from Judy Andrus, who's the Jewish lady, or the person of Jewish descent, you know, Jewish raised on the show. He said, "Dear Mr. Duke, I was sorry I didn't have a chance to interact with you more last night. The sound system was off. And though Hesham had told me to jump in, he could not hear me, and they called me back three times. I asked you a rather mild question about the comment credited to you about Negroes. You said it was ADL. The ADL is no friend of mine. However, you're suggesting that the page is not true. Respectfully, Judy Andrus." You know, ma'am, I don't know. There's been so much written about me over the years, and I've said many, many millions of words, and there's been probably a microphone in my face since the time I was very young. And, there's no question. She quotes here, when the American people saw the L.A. riots and the crowds of blacks cheering O.J. Simpson was acquitted by the almost all-black jury, they received a peek into the future. Well, I think that's correct, and that's not a really that bad quote, and that's probably a true quote. I think we see this consistently when you have black defendants who are found not guilty. The blacks align themselves and defend themselves. She quotes again. This is from the ADL site. "Hate crimes against whites receive little attention, while crimes against minorities become national headlines. By focusing on crimes against minorities, the national media is flaming the flames of racial hatred against whites and leads to more anti-white attacks," states Duke. "The cover-up of the racial aspect of the case should make one think that Atlanta Braves baseball player John Rocker is right about New York." I have no problem with that one either. Anyway, she gives a couple more quotes. And they always go back, and one of the quotes they do use, which is absolutely false, is a Wichita, Kansas quote. It says, "White people don't need a law against rape, but if you fill up this room with your normal black buck, she would, because the N-word are basically primitive animals." I never use that term. I don't use the word N-word, and there's no tape recording, interestingly enough, of that talk, even though literally thousands of my talks have been tape recorded. A lot of times newspapers and reporters get things wrong. You could say Negro and they'll quote you with the N-word, or you can say Nigra, as they say in the South, and which is a form of Negro, and they quote you with the N-word. And also people can just get it wrong. That's just the way things are. And what their enemy does is they just go simply through literally thousands of articles, and they find whatever one that seems to fit, their stereotype, or they take an offhand conversation of about 5 or 6 hours with someone, and they'll take about two lines out of context, and then that's supposed to, frame your whole character and so forth, and it's just not true. In fact, the truth is, and I used to say this in my gubernatorial and senatorial campaigns, the truth is that if you followed someone around and you keep a microphone with them as much as, say, has been on me, you will definitely find moments when people say intemperate things, when they become angry, when they say things perhaps they don't mean later. That's going to happen at some point in anybody's life. But the difference is that most people don't have that microphone on them. And, I have, but I'm not saying that I was certainly not stronger or certainly more radical in the way I expressed myself as a younger person, because in many cases I was. But generally speaking, I think I expressed myself in a decent way, in a positive way, for people. I think I've learned a lot over the years. I don't think it does any good at all to express yourself in a hateful way whatsoever. I think it just damages our cause. Got a nice email from Louis Thordery, really good friend of ours here. He said, "I'd love to help this weekend, but I'm obligated to help John, an NA member who's staying at my house in Baton Rouge, to empty out his waterlogged house in New Orleans. Spent last weekend helping him." Well, that's great, Louis. I'm glad you're helping this individual, and he needs your help, and we'll see you some other time. I'm glad you're helping out a fellow individual in this cause, and that's what you need to do. This is from, let's see who this one's from. It's from Predator. He says, "Please, dear Dr. Duke, I just wanted to say you what a fine job you did on the Tolali show. My wife called and spoke with you, and I was the last caller. I posted my thoughts on the show here. Hope you've awakened more people to the issues which they never thought of. Thanks for all your hard work, and hope to hear you on the Peter Shank Show. He's a great host. Best regards, Dean. Anyway, that's what's going on there. Dear Dr. Duke, he said, you've always been royalty, in other words, Duke. Now you're even a doc. Doc Duke, I saw, heard you on the internet call-in show. The video was practically wasted, talking head syndrome, but the call-in format was interesting. Why don't you try it on your internet radio show? You said once this was the format, just a coil on the phone. Well, we definitely want to try to do that eventually. So sometimes it's impractical in terms of my, you know, my constant travels around the world, and sometimes it's kind of harder to do that. I'm in a computer facility here, and I've got all kinds of animals. I've already had a run-in with a large cat, now a large dog, and we're just moving right along. All right, let's see what we have here. This is interesting, and this is from Eddie. He says, as a liberal, I spent so much time opposing David Duke, but I have seen the light. David Duke is now my hero. I would do anything to help this cause. How can I help? I love my race so much. I need, I certainly support you. I'm a friend. Well, great. You know, I think a lot of people are coming around, and what you can first do is just take this internet program and take a lot of the articles in davidduke.com and stormfront.org and post them all over the internet with good links. Join forums, and let's get this word out and this message out to the people. All right, let's see. I got a few more here. This is another one. This is from Wally. He says, Representative David Duke, I saw most of the interview tonight by way of the internet. I must say that I greatly admire you for your courageous stand against the constant and brutal attacks from our enemies. I honestly do not know how you endure, but you are one hell of a man. We were in East Tennessee and have friends in DeRidder, Louisiana, including the late Kathy McDaniel. Kathy was a great lady who thought the world of you, David Duke. Kathy gave her life for exposing some things. Yes, I know her own personal story. We just hope you're careful and do not let the evil ones get to you. Thanks, Wally, and from Tennessee. Well, Wally, thank you. And, Kath, it's absolutely true what you say. Kathleen McDaniel, as I knew her, and Kathy McDaniel, she was a fantastic individual, and we're really sorry for her passing, and she was always a good supporter of my campaigns, and I'm glad that you mentioned her. Alright, let's see. Here's one. This is from, who was it from? It's a lot of stuff. It's from Dr. Doom. Pretty interesting avatar. I've recently discovered your website and online radio program, and I find them to be fascinating. I'm a junior in high school, and unfortunately I do not have the time. I would like to read the things I would like. Your radio show has been a godsend, as it allows me to get through the information I want even while I concentrate on my academic pursuits. I've always been, and I now call, thanks to your insight, myself a white nationalist, though in the past I was completely unaware that there was anyone else with my views, much less a whole movement striving for the same goals as I one day hope to work for. First of all, congratulate you on your graduation from the doctoral program. More to the point, I have a question for you. I think you would agree that in any human endeavor, whether it be a family, a business, a cultural movement, there are different peoples who serve different purposes, usually along a chronological progression. Some sow seeds of change for the future, some organize thought patterns and insert ideas in the collective consciousness, others make intentions clear and draw lines in the sand. There are those who stand behind such lines and turn intentions into ambitions, and finally, some maintain what has been achieved and defend it against all usurpers. Our movement, the European American movement, empowerment movement, the white nationalist movement, the Anglo Ascension movement is only in the early stages of its development. It is my opinion that you are a primary leader within this movement, and also that you've done an excellent job of serving your purpose, far better than anyone could have asked you to do. I think you also agree that now is not the time for overt action. Now we must merely gain a foothold spread the truth, if you will. But despite this, the future is coming faster than I think we'd all like, which leads to my question. What is next? Obviously, what you are doing is vastly important and more necessary than many would like to believe, but our enemies will stay quiet and settle forever. Speaking of our enemies, there sure are a lot of them. And he goes on, and he goes on. Let's see. I can't go through the whole letter, but, you know, what is next, ladies and gentlemen? The next is just increasing the consensus, getting people educated fully till they're very dedicated, forming communities in our own cities. In other words, we should go with get-togethers once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, whatever. Make them social functions at first, and then go for it. You know, and then continue to build a community, and then you go into politics. We just have to build this consensus, and eventually, with that consensus, we can really, really affect things with a revolution. I see the day will come when there will be millions of us in the street. I mean, millions of us in the street. It was just saying that we're not going to take and tolerate this. You know, this disaster, this destruction of our heritage that is going on. Let's go to Stormfront and take a couple little of our postings there. And then I was hoping to be back home by now, but I've got to go back to at least have one great thing I have is a lot of good friends in many parts of the country, and a good friend of a gentleman named Danny, and he's got quite a good car lot up here. I've bought many used cars through him over the years. And also, he's kind of helped keep me in wheels, keep me going. And he's really helping me out here. I've got a problem with my automobile. And I'm really thankful that over the years, there have been so many people I've known for many, many years who've been my friends and who've supported my work. And without that, I don't think I could have accomplished one-tenth of what I have been able to accomplish. And that's why I think I've accomplished as much as we have, even with the very low budget that we've had to work with. Let's see. This McKevery, he says, Dr. Duke does a fantastic job of staying calm while presenting his arguments to the issues. Dr. Duke certainly has influenced me on how to behave and present the arguments to many, many areas of thought. Yeah, so let's see. What's we got? Let's see. We got a few here. All Stormfront mapping. This is from Jared Weatherington. He says, Dr. Duke, I was watching Court TV's coverage in the trial of the Hmong man who killed six white hunters in Wisconsin. It's obvious from the coverage the liberal commentators' lawyers sympathized with this murderer because the hunters may have used racial slurs. One of the commentators, Ron Kuby, had the audacity to sarcastically say, I guess one of the beauties of America is that whenever there is a minority community, there will be white people around who hate them. It's absolutely sickening that because the victims were white and may have used racial slurs, that somehow mitigates this murder. Just writing on the wall, I guess. That's from Jared. Well, let me tell you something, Jared. When you take a look at that issue, when you take a look at the motivations for crimes, it really is exactly, you know, the media is exactly the opposite. They portray the world to be exactly opposite from the way that it is. If you watch the media, most things, it's white people hurting individual blacks based on race. But if it's the other way around, if there's a racial motivation, then you'll always see that the whites will be condemned. Even if they've been murdered, then this person must be just righteously defending themselves. That's how it always works in terms of the media. And I don't think it's true. And I think the forensic evidence is really bore out very conclusively that the whites were truly the victims in this case in every respect. Hugh Lincoln says, what are your preferred realistic goals, policy goals for whites short of moving toward racial separation? Well, short of racial separation, that ultimately racial separation, of course, is what we need to survive and live, have our own basic society, our own standards, and every respect until that time. And again, once we have a little power and we're vying for power, we can certainly just suggest, first of all, that these major housing projects and programs are essentially changed, and that we basically start focusing on getting blacks into their own communities. They are empowered in those communities while we're empowered in ours, so you have a greater sense of control of your own community, and we stop this massive integration. This is from Nordic Wise. He says, Dr. Duke, excellent interview. This was awesome. We really need a win like that. I just wanted to say, when a society or groups is too diverse, then someone's expression, ideas, or rights are always going to be compromised. Globalism makes no sense except to those who want to exploit the idea. And that's from Traven, by the way. Well, Traven, thanks a lot for your comments, and it's so true, because that's exactly where we're going, and you know, I think we made our points well in the program, and I think that for the next 3 or 4 days that people, you know, and all the people that see that those programs later, but the next 3 or 4 days, while this issue is pertinent to the people paying their taxes and living in that community, it's going to cause a lot of awareness. So maybe this International Vanguard articles will even lead to some of our people maintaining, you know, their heritage and becoming more conscious of their heritage, their way of life, and the vital aspects of our fight. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you again for your very nice help and support, and we've got volunteers coming out to the house, both in Mandeville and Covington, tonight and tomorrow, and it's not going to be a big crowd, so if you still want to come out, you'll have a chance to work with me and break some bread with us. All great comradeship, and we look forward to hearing you. The number is, of course, 809-0424. That's Mr. Kelso's number right now, 809-0424. All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate everyone, and let's go and let's do some great things. We have great tasks before us. And I will certainly see you on Sunday. And don't forget, tomorrow we'll have the very intrepid and fantastic speaker and knowledgeable individual by the name of Bob Whitaker. As always, see y'all later. Thanks.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.